man and honor of and respect and reverence and fear of God's word, because it is God's word, not man's word.
Amen.
You know, the president gave a state of the union, they stand up for that. Now God is giving his state of the union address. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 through 16, it says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under the foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on an hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a lamp, on a candlestick, and giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven."
Amen.
Father, thank you for the word of God.
Yes.
Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for these saints you've called out of darkness into your marvelous light, that you've saved, that you fill with your spirit, that are shining like lights in a dark world. Then we still thank you, Father God, for those that you have called but aren't shining. Light them up. Light them up today so they will leave here and shine. That they will leave here and shine in school and shine at their place of business and but they will shine in their homes. That somebody look at them and say, "I see a glow on you today. You're shining." And then let them say, "I'm only shining because what's inside of me. That God has given me the Spirit of God and I'm able to shine." Father, thank you for your light. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Got to light up this world. The saints are called to light up this world. And it's dark. Oh, it's dark. You hear Jeremy praying. We live in a dark world.
Amen.
It's dark and it's getting darker. And one of the reasons it's getting darker is because the church ain't shining.
Amen.
You think about our city and you think about every murder that's happened in our city. It's most likely happened within 100, 200 yards from the church. Uh-huh. Within walking distance to a church. Folks dying within a mile of the church. Why? Church ain't shining. People of God aren't shining. And the word of God says we are to shine. Jesus in his great sermon, the greatest sermon of all times, last week we talked, he said, "You are the salt of the world. Salt is who you are. Salt is who you are. Salt is you're filled with salt. Salt gives you the ability to minister to folks. Salt is who you are. Light is what you do. Salt is who you are. You ought to be salty, filled with the word, saturated in the word. And then you ought to shine because what's in you causes you to shine. The Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Not only that, out of the abundance of the heart, the life shines. We are to shine because we are called to shine. Jesus, in his own word, said, "Well, you are the light of the world." Now, what's he mean? You are the light of the world. He makes it personal. That's a personal statement. He said, "Ye are the light of the world." Turn to John 9:5. We see what Jesus called himself that. He called himself that. There's not a greater statement of faith. There's not a greater compliment that Jesus will give his people than what you just heard from him. Imagine that. You're sitting there and you're in a crowd and you're listening to Jesus and he looks at you. He looks to you because he's all knowing. He knows all things. And he says, He says, you are the light of the world. And how could any of us be the light of the world? Because we are the people of God. God has called us. He's filled us with his spirit. And if we have his spirit, we are to shine as he did. How did he shine? John 9:5 says this. He says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Amen. Now he's saying here in Matthew 5, he's saying to the people of God, the disciples mainly that have come to hear him speak, he's saying, you are the light of the world. Know what he's saying? The real superstars in this world, the real celebrities, the real VIPs in this world. See, we immediately start thinking of Hollywood, and we start thinking about, you know, famous athletes and singers and all that. He said, no, you are the light of the world. You are the true stars. The true celebrities, the true leaders in this world are the people of God.
Amen.
Why? Because we have great responsibility. And our responsibility is shine in a dark world. Lost folks. You ever been in a dark house? In a dark place? And then and you hit the light switch. You just feel better. You just feel better about that situation. You hit the light switch. Or you're riding down a dark road. When you get on the freeway, when the street, the highway lights are on, you just feel safer. And see, a lost soul, no matter how they fight it, no matter how they struggle, they don't want to be lost.
Amen.
Nobody want to be lost. Nobody want to be lost. And Jesus saying, folk, we live in a dark world. Folks are lost. Folks need to hear the message of salvation. They need to hear how a man comes to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And if they don't hear from us,
amen,
they're never going to hear it.
Amen.
They're not going to hear it anywhere else but from the people of God. And God has called us to be light carriers.
Amen.
Preachers of the gospel.
Amen.
Preachers of the gospel. When Joanne was talking, she said, I got my cataract surgery done. That took me somewhere. Because it was a man that died. He hit cataract surgery and he died during the proceedings. Never knew the man. Never knew him. Name is Pop Beaver, Al Beaver's father. He was a good friend of mine. I worked at General Mo. And I went to this man's funeral. I didn't know him. And I tell y'all this testimony all the time, and they lifted that man up. They told me about how wonderful he was, how much he loved the Lord, how much he loved God's church and God's people and his wife and his kids and his grandkids. And they lifted him up. And his light was so bright. And then the pastor said, what kind of man are you? And I'm sitting there way in the back in darkness, lost as a lost man could be. And I think about the light that man shined on me in his death. He shined that light, and that light, as Claire just said, exposed me. And see, we don't like it, and we don't want to expose folks. Light will expose some folks.
Amen.
If your light is on, certain folks ain't going to hang around you.
Amen.
You not, certain folks just ain't going to hang around you. Folks that's in darkness, they're not going to hang around folks in light.
Amen.
So if you got a whole lot of darkness around you, probably because your light ain't on. Think about John. Think about John 3:16. We love John 3:16. But let's take it all the way to verse 19. Let's take it all the way to verse 19. We know John 3:16. He said, for God so loved the world, the dark world, that he gave his only begotten son to be what? A light. To show men how to be saved. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, how are the whosoever's going to believe in him if the people that claim to know the Lord don't teach him? If the preachers that are called to preach the gospel don't preach it? See, a lot of folks getting saved and not ever hearing the gospel. That's impossible.
Amen.
You can't get saved unless you hear the word of God and hear it in a way that you understand it. And then hear it in a way not only that you understand it, that you believe it and make application. All this hoopla, all this running around and having a good time in church, you're not hearing the gospel.
Amen.
And you don't hear the gospel in a way that you can understand it, in a way that you can believe it, and then say, you know what? I'm going to live it.
Amen.
Now you have everlasting life.
Amen.
Oh, Lord have mercy. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, to convict the world, to doom the world, or to find the world not guilty or guilty. He sent his son into the world that through him the world might be saved. Look at verse 18. He that believeth on him. Wait a minute. He that have heard the word. Heard it in a way that they understand it. They understand the responsibilities that come with believing, have accepted those responsibilities, applied them to their life, now are living it out. Now you're saved. Okay? I'm all right. He that believeth on him, not on the preacher, okay? Not on the church, not on the pope, not on the bishop, not on the apostle. Okay? He that believeth on him,
amen,
Jesus Christ, and him crucified. Believe on,
amen,
the work that he did at Calvary.
Amen.
Believe that he truly was born of a virgin, died on a cross, was buried, and rose on the third day.
Amen.
That's what you got to believe. That ain't easy.
Amen.
And everybody that claim they say don't believe all that.
Amen.
Okay? He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he have not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let me put it another way.
Amen.
Have not believed in the name of the only man that has ever lived that can save you.
Amen.
Buddha can't save you.
Amen.
Allah can't save you.
Amen.
The church can't save you. The Pope can't save you. Only Jesus Christ can save you.
Amen.
Now watch this. I understand that. I understand that. Preacher, I understand what you're saying.
Amen.
But I'm just not ready. I'm just not ready to let go of my life. I'm like the rich young ruler. I got too much going on. I got to test the waters. You know, I got to sow my oats. You know? I got to do my thing, just like you did. Let me tell you something. The Bible says today, if you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Because see, tomorrow ain't guaranteed. Okay? You sow your oats one day too long. Okay? You go on one date too many. You got problems. But why won't that person turn it over to Jesus? Here's why. Here's why in John 3:19. And this is the condemnation. This is why. This is why. This is the condemnation. This is what's going to cause them to go to hell. This is what's going to cause them to lose out on this great offer of salvation. This is what's going to cause you. And somebody right now, count the cost. Oh, that's why I'm preaching this. I want you to add it all up. This is the condemnation. Here's why that person won't give his life or her life to the Lord. Here's why. The light is coming to the world and expose them. And here's why. And men and women love darkness rather than light. Folks love darkness rather than light. Folks love darkness. Listen, Ray Charles was blind. He was blind. He didn't love darkness, but he's saying this, you know, the nighttime. You know, the nighttime, darling, is the right time. Joanne, you remember that song, don't you? Oh, the night time is the right time to be with the one you love. Jake said, man, you just took me back 70 years. That came out in 1957. And this is the condemnation. This is why, folks, this is why right now, folks, if this is a picture of folks just walking and dropping off the cliff, whoop, dropping off the cliff, whoop, dropping off the cliffs, texting, dropping off the cliff, bam, dropping off the cliff. Got their little tablet, watch a movie, dropping off the cliff. Dropping off the cliff. They love the movies. They love the texting. They love social media. And this is the condemnation that has come into the world, because God is saying, listen, you need to put that tablet down. You need to put all that texting down. You need to put all that PlayStation down and that Xbox down and learn of me. Yeah. Learn of me. Learn of me, because the floor of hell is going to be full of tablets and little 7-inch Kindle fires and all that stuff. I mean, a whole lot of Bibles and all that down there too. Verse 19 one more time. Y'all know I like to wear it out. I like to wear it out. Cindy said, Cindy will tell me, she said, leave him alone. You didn't wear him out. They need to hear it.
Amen.
Let me hear me one more time. And this is the condemnation. I want everybody to go home knowing what I preached today.
Amen.
The preacher said, I'm on my way to hell. That's what he said. I stand accused. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world. The world meaning the darkness. Oh, y'all getting lit up now. See, I'm illuminating it. I want to make it plain. I don't want Jill to have any questions on the way home. Okay, Dad, what did he mean? What did he mean? Listen, here, you know what he meant. All right, this for you, Jill. This is the condemnation, that light is coming to our dark worlds. Oh, and they dark. And men and women love darkness rather than light. Why? I love the Bible. It just preaches itself. Why do men and women love darkness rather than light? Because their deeds were evil. That's why the word God said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. You need a new heart. You need a new nature. You need a new nature that has different desires, have new desires and new passions and new emotions and new thoughts and new deeds. You can't get saved and keep the same deeds. And the same thoughts and the same actions and the same behavior. You know, folks always tell me, you know, when I received the Holy Ghost, heard a lady talk to me yesterday, crazy, talking to me crazy. When I receive the Holy Ghost, I start speaking in tongues and in new languages, and I just ran all around circles. I said, let me tell you something. Here's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost. You become a better husband. You become a better wife. You stop drinking. You stop lying. You stop stealing. You stop being evil. That's what happens when you receive the Holy Ghost, because the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, and peace, long-suffering, temperance,
amen,
self-control, all that. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, you ain't going to run around circles.
Amen.
You ain't going to start babbling off new languages. When you receive the Holy Ghost, you're going to become better. You're going to become stronger in your prayer life. You're going to be praying to God, God, make me stronger, make me better, make me greater. I want to be a better father. I want to be a better daughter. I want to be a better brother. I want to be a better cousin.
Amen.
When you get the Holy Ghost. But if you get the generic or the
counterfeit
Holy Ghost,
amen,
you better make sure you got the real Holy Ghost.
Amen.
If you still acting a fool and living like a heathen, and you say you got the Holy Ghost, you might have the Holy Smoke. You ain't got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Holy Ghost going to make you better. Make you stronger.
Amen.
That anger and all that evil in you going to come out. Because evil and the Holy Ghost don't get along.
Amen.
Listen, let me keep moving. Let me keep moving. We'll be here for a while.
Amen.
That's all right.
Amen.
I love God. I love God's word. Watch this. Not only Not only in chapter 5, verse 14, he said, you are the light of the world. He said, it cannot be hid. You can't hide it. You can't hide your light. You light a candle in a dark room. Folks, you can't hide the light. And let me tell you something. You ain't going to be looking at that candle. You're going to be looking around at everything that candle exposes. See, the candle will expose you. And it will expose those around you. Because if you light and you're in a dark place and everybody acting a fool, everybody cussing and lying and fornicating and committing adultery and all that, they ain't going to want to be around you. They're going to say, turn off that light. Turn off the light. Why you got that light in my face? Some of y'all heard it already. You know, you walk in somebody's room and they sleep and turn the light on. Worst thing you can do. Turn off that light. I done heard it many times. So I'm always leaving something. I got to come up and back up in the room. I leave early. I got to come up back in the room, turn on the light. And, I hear that. Elmer, you know what that means. Well, but you done forgot now. Because that light then interrupted them. And folks, the folks in deep sleep don't want to be interrupted. And a person in darkness is a picture of a person in deep sleep. They don't want to be woke up. They don't want to be woke up. See, when God woke me up out of my darkness, out of my lost condition, he woke me up. I had to make a decision. He ain't wake me up for nothing. He said, listen, I'm waking you up. Now you got to make a decision. Are you going to go back to sleep? Or are you going to live in this newness of life? So you got to make a call. See, he ain't going to make you walk in light.
That's right.
Oh, come on now. He's not going to make you walk in light. We don't serve that kind of God. He's not going to make you walk in light.
Amen.
Like you do with the babies. You know, you strap them in them seats. That baby don't want to be in that seat.
Amen.
You strap them in, buckle them in. They just like they going on to the moon or something. And that baby pulling on them straps. Look what you're doing. I don't want to be strapped down. Well, see, the Holy Ghost going to strap you down. You're not going to have the Holy Ghost going everywhere and doing everything. The Holy Ghost don't want to hang around with other folks that don't got the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Oh, come on now.
Amen.
Pastor, you don't know what you're talking about. I can take my light anywhere. Well, that may not be God's light.
Amen.
See, you must let your light shine. You can't help it. You can't help it. See, your anger shines. Your character shines. Your behavior, your demeanor, your actions, they just shine. People see it. People see it. And when you come to an understanding of who you are in Christ, and now you say, I'm going to take this thing wherever I go, because you don't have no choice. People are going to see it. The lost world going to see it. And let me tell you something. Folks, this comes a great responsibility. And it's a great cost. Why? Because the Word of God said, all who desire to live in Christ shall suffer. Because we live in a dark world. So we stand up and say, you know what? Two men or two women in a marriage relationship is wrong. In a dark world, they're going to say, what's wrong with you? I'm just telling you what the Word of God said. Well, the Word of God, that was written by a white man. Oh, that was written, that's old fashioned. All kind of stuff. But it is what it is. And the person who truly had the Spirit of God is going to stand by the Word of God.
Amen.
He's just going to stand by the Word of God. And your light has to shine. That's what Jesus said. We don't light a candle just to hide it under a bushel. And I don't know. He meant a bushel basket. A basket that held bushels. Bushels were like food or little products like that. But they put the basket over the bushel. And we got a whole lot of Christians say they got the light, but all you see is the basket. All you see is the basket. It's like walking around, you know, you see a little basket and you hide it out under the basket. Get off it under the basket. Let your light shine. Why? Because people need to see it. People need to see it. I need to see it. I need to see some folks with their light shining. Think about it. Your headlights go out. You drive down the back road, your headlights go out. You ain't driving like that. But in reality, a lot of us are driving just like that. We are driving with our headlights out.
Amen.
And then we wonder why we always got issues, always got problems, always going through, all got all kind of emotional baggage, all kind of stuff going on. Why? Because you're driving in the dark. And you're running into stuff. And folks running into you. Folks always blowing at you. Because you ain't got your lights on. And folks is flashing all the time. Your lights, turn your lights on. And you just riding down the street. And the only light is on is your phone. And when anybody living like that, you're going to run into stuff. You're going to run into stuff. What you trying to say, Pastor? Turn on your light. How do I turn on my light? How do I turn on my light? You know, we do this. We do this. Some of my people say, but Pastor, you know, how do I turn on my light? You just bathe yourself in the light. I remember back in the day. Oh, back in the day. Now, everything is lit up now. But back in the day, you buy one of them Timex watches. Kenny probably remember. It was all green. Before the light in the dark, you had to hold it under the light. And then at nighttime, boy, I'd be looking at it. I didn't want to know what time it was. I just wanted to see the light. I was like, that's nice. You got me a glow-in-the-dark watch. Did you have one?
Nah.
Man, light just didn't care what time it was, just glowing. I'm like shining. You know, when them you have solar lights. I like solar lights. You come to my house, I got solar lights all over the place. Now Cindy asked me the other day. She said, them lights is bright today. Why? Because I said, Cindy, listen, if they don't get sun, they're not gonna come on. It had been overcast for about a week. And then one sunny day, it got real sunny. Then we came home at night, and all the lights was lit up. Because they had soaked up the line. They had been in the line. And folks that come out on Wednesday, and they say, well, Pastor, you just stay on it. You know, if we went through Psalms 23, it took us about 6 months, maybe eight, maybe nine. Okay. But what I'm trying to do is just bathe you in the Word of God. It wouldn't matter what scripture we was in. But we just bathe in his light. And then when you leave out on Wednesday, you got some light for Thursday. You got some light for Friday. Then you got some light just enough for Saturday. And I got to get back to God's house. I got to get to Sunday school. And I got to hear the Word of God preach. Because I want to be back shining. Because this world will exhaust you and drain and consume your light. In the brightest light in all darkness all the time will dim. You got to get that light. You got to get that light. Listen. There was a story. D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody went to the barbershop. Everybody knew him in Chicago. And D.L. Moody went to the barbershop. And you know all the talk that go on in barbershops. Mm-hmm. All the gossip. All the talking. And if it's a man, all the cussing, talking about sport. But the word that I said, the story said, when D.L. Moody walked into the barbershop, everything changed. Because, see, light had come into the barbershop. See? And things changed. Things changed. Because when light showed up, chased darkness away. Darkness and light, they don't get along. Listen, somebody said, but Pastor, I don't mean to, but am I hiding my light? Am I hiding my light? You may be. How do I hide it? I thought about this. You know, and I've been looking for a long time because y'all know I love me some Wizard of Oz. And I know that's the movie sharing and playing for y'all next movie night, the Wizard of Oz. You know, because I love me some Wizard of Oz. It's the greatest movie ever, bar none. Okay, I know some of y'all Roots. I like Roots. No, listen, let me tell you something. Roots ain't got nothing on the Wizard of Oz. Okay, listen. And you know, Shayna said she had never seen the Wizard of Oz. I said, why are your family abusing you like that? What teenager have not seen the Wizard of Oz? Wait. She told the tale. She sure told me that. Listen. It's four characters in the Wizard of Oz. Let me sum this sermon up. We got Dorothy. Now, Dorothy is us. Some of us have bumped our heads. We done got caught in a tornado. Life has worn us down, and we have found ourselves in a place, in a dark place. And we know this ain't Kansas no more. Okay, this ain't home, and I can't die here. Now, Dorothy trying to get to heaven. I'm spiritualizing, Margaret. Listen, Dorothy trying to get to heaven. And on her way to getting to heaven, she run into three folks that ought to be shining. She run into three folks. Somebody she ran into two Baptists and a Pentecostal. First person she ran into was the lion. Now, I may be out of order. Don't correct me if I am. I'm doing this. This is my version of the Wizard of Oz. So she runs into this lion. Now, a lion is supposed to be a Baptist preacher. Baptist preachers are always called lions, fierce, didn't care, preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, preach it, whether people want to hear it or not. Courageous, the Lion of Judah. You know, took Ray and them to the zoo a couple years ago, Akron Zoo. Listen, to tell you something. I seen some penguins. I seen the polar bears. They had a giraffe there. But I wasn't leaving there until I seen one animal. Okay? I wanted to see the king of the jungle. And when I got there, there was a line of folks. They got the cameras and the lion just standing there. He wasn't moving. He was like, even in the zoo, he was the king of the zoo. And folks clicking, clicking. And then he moved. He did it like that. And little girl said, he moved. I said, lion is bad. Pastors and preachers of the gospel are supposed to be fearless. Supposed to be fearless. And, you know, we got so many preachers. They pussy cats. They pussy cats inside. They ain't going to say nothing because they trying to keep their little pension, keep their little paycheck. No guts, no backbone. They ain't saying nothing. Oh, my goodness. Let me tell you something. Here's what the word of God said about lying. Revelation 5:5 says, they couldn't get nobody to open books. And then one of the elders said unto me, weep not, behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. Let me tell you something. Lion supposed to be a bad boy. That lion jumped out with all his roaring and everything, and Dorothy slapped it. Dorothy slapped that lion and found out the lion was counterfeit. Lion start crying and whimpering, and Dorothy said, "You're a coward." See, we had a whole lot of preachers been slapped. A whole lot of Christians been slapped. Because, see, you're supposed to be lions, ferocious, fearless. Let me tell you something. When the wicked witch show up, and the flying monkeys, and they in the church. Oh, they in the church. We got some flying monkeys in the church. And some wicked witches. And the preacher see them. He know them. Can't offend them. Can't say nothing. Let me tell you something. Y'all people out here, if we're going to change the world, we're going to make a difference in this dark culture, and you're going to make a difference in your home, you better be fearless. You better have some guts. Let's talk about the Second Baptist preacher. I like this one. We ain't getting to the scarecrow. It ain't the scarecrow. Y'all know now who the scarecrow is. The tin man. He ran into the tin man. Let me tell you something. Tin man, he at his work. He under the bushel of what? Indifference. He didn't have a heart for the things of God. See, some of us don't have a heart for the things of God. Some of us can't minister because we really don't have a heart for the things of God. We show up just enough so the pastor can have our funeral done at the church. Because many of us, you know, we don't want to have our funeral done at the funeral home. We want to have it done at the church. We show up just enough to have it done at the church. But we really don't have a heart for the things of God. We really don't have a desire for the things of God. And the tin man didn't. He didn't have a heart. The Bible said, the Wizard of Oz said, he didn't have a heart. He didn't have a heart. Now ask yourself, do you have a heart? Are you approachable? Do you have a heart for God's people? In a world where babies are being aborted and marriage is under attack, do you have a heart? Or do you just don't care? When we see our young people just lost. And we don't have a heart. We don't have a heart for the things of God. And you know what? Anytime he got a little wet, he turned rusty. He turned rusty. The movie said he carried an axe. See a whole lot of Christians walking around with an axe. Got an axe to grind, complaining about everything. All they do is complain. You know, find something wrong in the church. Whether it's the preaching, whether it's the singing, whether it's the carpet. Okay? Church ain't clean enough. Eat too much. Pray too long. Beg too much. We don't do that here. You know, we don't do that here. We don't beg here. I don't even like taking offerings. I tell Dave, when we have special events, you know, I don't even like taking offerings for that. Because folks know to give, and we give on Sundays. And if the Sunday offering don't get it, we're not doing no Wednesday offering.
Amen.
And I'm not going to shut the church down for 30 days because y'all didn't give enough.
Amen.
Folks doing that. Yep. See, the 10 men, like many of you, and like I did, still do, need some what? Some oil. See, the 10 man needed some oil. He had a little oil can next to him. He knew he needed some oil. And he would say, and they would squeak the oil on him. See, some of you need the oil, and the oil is a picture of the Holy Ghost. Some folks just need the Holy Ghost. Some folks just need the Holy Ghost because without the Holy Ghost, and you sit here, well, I don't like doing this. It may not be that you don't like doing it. It may only be because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. And it's impossible to do ministry without God's Spirit working in you.
Amen.
Impossible. Impossible. So it may not be, well, I don't think I can teach. Well, I don't think I can preach. Well, I don't think I can do children's ministry. Or I don't think I can. You can't do it because you don't have the right stuff to do it. That's why. That's what light do. It'll reveal that to you. And then when you don't have that, you unapproachable. You withdrawn, and you got that axe. And anybody asks you to do something, you got that axe. And you're going to chop somebody up. Don't ask me to do nothing. Don't ask me to pray. Don't ask me to sing. Don't ask me to do nothing. Because I'm the tin man. And then some folks can't do ministry. Or they hide their light under the bushel of ignorance. And I'm not talking about ignorance. Y'all know that's my favorite word. I call my kids that 20 times a day. But I don't mean it in a negative way. See, y'all Western folks. I just mean you just unaware. Okay? You just don't have the knowledge of the subject you try to convince me of. That's just, you're just ignorance of it. You're just ignorance. And a lot of us are just ignorant of the things of God. Why? Because we don't study and we don't pray and we don't fast and we just don't love the things of God.
Amen.
And then we become ignorant, and when we have an opportunity to do ministry or to testify, we don't have it. We don't have it because we don't care. And the scarecrow was ignorant and he talked too much. Some folks don't know nothing about the Lord, talk too much about him. The scarecrow. I call him the Pentecostal. Cogent. Always falling over backwards. Been to so many Benny Hinn crusades. Slaying in the spirit. Falling over. All the time falling. That's all he did is fall. And he had no knowledge. You start talking to somebody that's caught up in that charismatic movement, and they don't talk about nothing but speaking in tongues. They don't talk about speaking in tongues. Well, you're not speaking in tongues. That's the evidence of you having the Spirit of God. No, it's not.
Amen.
No, it's not. The evidence of you having the Spirit of God, you're going to have some knowledge. You're not going to be ignorant of the things of God.
Amen.
And I know a whole lot of folks speaking tongues that's crazy. And y'all know what I'm talking about.
Amen.
Don't care about the things of God. Don't care about nothing but showtime religion. Let me tell you something, folks. Listen. You know what the scarecrow's biggest problem was? His biggest fear? And the ignorant folks, you know what your biggest fear is? You get that knowledge. Because that knowledge is going to set you on fire.
Amen.
Set you on fire. And you're scared. You're scared to receive the Spirit of God because it's going to set you on fire. It's going to change you. And you don't want to be changed. You don't want to be changed. Talk to Minister Madison. Cindy Bryan was singing this morning. I said, she's singing a song. I had the song as I was closing. She sang, "This Little Light of Mine." She sang it good too, didn't she? Oh, she sang it good. She sang, "This Little Light of Mine." And I just think about the words. And sometimes we just be harmonizing. Because we don't really know what it's saying. We know the words to it, but we don't know what it's saying. But here's what he said, "This Little Light of Mine. I'm going to let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." Then it goes in the second chorus. Listen. "Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine." Now, one more time. "Everywhere I go, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine." Listen. "All in my house, I'm going to let it shine. All in my house, I'm going to let it shine." Is it, I ask a question. Are you shining in the house? Is your house shining? Folks come in as living indifferent to the things of God. Does the shine bother them? We got folks, you know, that caught up in all kind of relationships, shacked up, all that. And they come to the people of God's house. Does the light of God shine on them? Do they feel comfortable hanging around folks? See, folks living in open sin ought not be comfortable around folks lit up. Amen. I know that's to be true. I know folks like that. Some folks in my family. I got my own daughter. She's not comfortable. Not that we condemn her. She just knows what we stand for. Amen. And they get uncomfortable. And I know there's a thought out there. Well, you ought to, it's your kid. You ought to have no problem if they like to smoke dope or they shacking up or they homosexual. They ought to be welcome in your home. Well, it's not my home, for one. Amen. It's God's house.
Amen.
It's God's house. And we fear the Lord here. And we ought to let folks know we fear the Lord here. And you're welcome, but, you know, don't get real comfortable. "All in my house, I'm going to let it shine. I'm not going to make it shine. I'm just going to let it shine." That's in the song now. I'm not, you can't make yourself shine. See, I'm going to let it shine. I'm just going to make it shine. I'm not going to make it shine. I'm just going to let it shine. Out in the dark, I'm going to let it shine. Oh, out in the dark, I'm going to let it shine. And I guess as a close, are you shining? Are you shining all the time? One of the gospel rappers I listen to, he said, "Shining all the time." He said, "I keep this word in me, for I'm shining all the time." Are you shining all the time? Are you shining all the time? Do you even want to shine? I guess, you know, you go to AutoZone and you buy the best wax for your car. Man, you buy that, you know, you buy the best wax. I can't pronounce the name of it. I buy it, you know, how much that's. See, Meguiar's. There, that's a good one. You got to buy the Meguiar's because you want your car shining. And you wax it and you look and see yourself in it. Do you want yourself shining? Do you want yourself shining? Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord, we just thank you, Father God. Thank you for preaching the greatest sermon ever preached. You called us the light of the world. What a compliment. We'd be fools if we were to call ourselves the light of the world. But you called us the light of the world. The light of our schools, the light of our community, the light of our neighborhoods, the light of our workplace. Everywhere we go, Because you called us the light of the world, we ought to light it up everywhere we go. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for their patience and their wanting to hear from you. I say like John said, I must decrease and he must increase. I just pray that the people would hear you and not me. I just pray in Jesus' name for everything. Amen.